What was the question? How did you
get to Eyes on Jesus?
Well,
so it wasn't even Eyes on Jesus yet.
It wasn't even Eyes on Jesus when you were there, and it wasn't even Eyes on Jesus yet when I came.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. I got invited to a worship night. At the time, I was having... 2017.
Wow.
Yeah, October 2017. It's been 5 years. It's crazy. Wow. I was signed to a country music publishing company. I was living... I was like a year out of college, living in full-blown, unrepentant sin. I didn't even know that I was in sin. I kind of had a guilty conscience every once in a while. Like if I would show up to the church I was going to, I would know I probably shouldn't have slept with my boyfriend last night, but I did. So
you would feel, because I'm just thinking people are going to be relating.
Yeah.
So you would feel... Some type of unease.
Okay. A little bit of guilt, but not enough to like
change.
Very quiet in the back of your head.
Very quiet. Yeah. And we've talked, I think just, I would sear my conscience. I would just like, I would feel my conscience or that gut feeling of like, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this, but not know why I shouldn't be doing it and not know how to stop. So I was probably on like, the borderline or the edge of like depression at that point, because my career was failing to everybody else. I didn't really care about that. I mainly just wanted to write songs and like hang out with people. But to the company I was with, it was failing. They were losing money, and I was in an abusive relationship with a boy.
Yeah.
And
Jesus
was also leading a Bible
study. Jesus. Jesus, you didn't even know it was abusive, honey.
No, I didn't.
Did you?
No, I had no clue it was abusive.
Jesus, you didn't know you were in sin? You didn't know you were being abused? You didn't know how tired you were? You were just striving, and I have compassion for you, and it's just flowing out towards you, I believe. For the ones who are listening, so many are listening, who are in so much sin. They're being abused by the enemy. They don't even realize that there's another way.
There's another way.
And you're telling them. Listen to her story and listen how your story can change. Listen to her story. Listen to how her story has changed. And hear the hope that your story can change. And you may not see a way out. You may not even want out. But if something in you is like, wait a minute. Just keep listening.
yes. Yes.
Remember, when you're telling this, you are preaching the gospel.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I was in so much torment and torture and like chains and like shame and just, oh my gosh, I was talk about confused. I was just like, I was a mess. I was like, I was dying. I was dead already and dying. Felt like I was. And I had a reputation for being alive, for being like positive Baylor and the life of the party and always smiling and always full of joy. And like, I laugh at that now looking back. Because now I actually am full of joy because it's him, you know? It's not like a fake fabricated happiness. Putting a smile on, you know? My whole life, I had to put a smile on. I was a cheerleader, a competitive cheerleader, where literally they tell you to smile the entire time, like cheek to cheek, like fake it till you make it style. So at that point in my life, I think depressed, I'm pretty sure. Abused, living in an abusive relationship with a boy, leading a Bible study, a girl's Bible study, because where I was going to church, they needed leaders. And they said, sign up if you want to lead. And I was like, well, maybe this will, I'm sure I thought, like, maybe this will help something. So I signed up. Mainly just wanting like a group of like good influence, you know, not knowing where to find that. Because I didn't attract like good influencing friends. I didn't have anyone. Wow. Anyone. And on top of that, I was also influencing people not knowing I was doing that to sin. Whether it was at parties or whatever. And so, oh, also calling myself a Christian the whole time. But not emphasizing that. Like, I wasn't trying to be in ministry or anything. I didn't even know what ministry was. So, October 2017 rolls around, and I am sitting in a coffee shop. It was called The Jam Coffee House. It's no longer there. Mm-hmm. Across from Belmont University. Yeah. I love their egg sandwich. It was great. I would go there every day.
Let's recreate it.
Okay. It was so good. They had like fresh bread.
Let's recreate it.
From somewhere. Let's do it. And I'm sitting there, and every time I revisit this memory, now that I know God and I know the supernatural and I've experienced it because of him, this was an actual supernatural experience. Like, 'cause I'm sitting in this coffee house that I go to every day, down the street from Music Row, where I would write country songs. So I was picking up food on my way to write songs. And I sat down, and some friends of mine that I was very close to at the time, all my college girlfriends, were there as well. We weren't there together, though. And one of our friends, who now goes to church with us, named Louisa, she walked in, who I hadn't seen in years, I think, at that point.
Okay.
And I knew something was different about her as soon as I saw her, but I didn't know what. And she walked over to me, and we started talking, and I don't remember the exact conversation, but I remember her being like full of like light and energy, and like, mm-hmm. I just liked what she was about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't know what I was feeling.
Okay.
At all.
You're being drawn.
I was being drawn. Yeah. And
life.
Yeah. And the craziest part about that is like our entire friend group from college, where we all sinned together, partied together, drank mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. went out together, was there that day.
Wow.
Yes. And the friend that had left our friend group kind of like suddenly didn't really tell us what happened or anything, came back that day, and quote unquote random, but it wasn't random. We all ran into each other.
Which was Louisa.
Okay. Yeah. But I hadn't seen her in years.
But you weren't thinking that you were all sinning together.
No.
You're just living.
We're just living. Yeah, yeah. Living it up. Like they say in the world. And yeah, and like I was pursuing country music. One of our friends was my background singer. Like we were all in sororities together. Like we went to college together. We were friends, a group. And so Louisa walks in, and I remember the room, the atmosphere of judgment, because she had left the friend group. So we were like, I didn't necessarily feel judgment toward her. I felt excited to see her because it had been so long.
Wow.
But I remember everyone else being very judgmental.
Wow.
Like she left.
Okay, can we just say there's a theme here?
Yes.
You heard judgment against me, which I didn't even realize till today.
Wow.
And you were sitting here in judgment.
Against her. 100%. Oh, I had heard judgment for years against Louisa.
And these people were church people, right?
Maybe
not leaders.
Not leaders, but most of them were cultural Christians, mm-hmm. and there was a few that were not Christians.
Okay.
Like fully not, like atheists.
Okay.
So Louisa walks in, lots of judgment, lots of eyes looking at her. Oh, hi. Lots of fake hellos. And
ooh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That whole culture.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Ugh, it's gross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. That's one thing that we literally strive not to do.
Amen.
Is judge anyone here.
Yes.
That's just a huge thing that I've worked on for years. But if you're saying it about someone, you better be able to say it to them.
Amen.
So good.
I'm Amen. So thankful.
Because I hate that.
I hate it too.
It's against God.
It's against God. And his children.
Mm-hmm.
So Louisa comes up to me and we start chatting. And basically she is like, what are you doing this Friday? And I'm like, probably going out.
Wow.
Why? And she's like, you should come to this thing I've been going to. It's called Freedom Fridays. And I could tell she was like kind of nervous to invite me to this.
Well, I had just challenged her a week or two before. Did you know this?
No, I didn't even know this.
We were sitting in my car. She was riding with me. And she was telling me dreams about sharing the gospel on the stage with so many people, you know. And I said, you've talked for years now about sharing him with many. I challenge you to share him with one. And I think she said since she had no intentions of sharing this place with anyone, she picked up her phone right then to put into practice what I was saying, and she texted somebody. And then I think she invited, unless I'm mistaken, within a week or two after that, because she was practicing. I was like, share him with one.
Wow.
Right now. Because if you wait till you get to those crowds,
you won't.
You're not going to do it.
Right. And it's not about crowds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was the crowd that day.
I'm just thinking, I don't know if she'd have done it had I not challenged her by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he already knew about that day.
He already knew about that day. Right. That's what I'm
it's
talking
perfect
about.
Perfect timing.
It's him. It's all his sovereign, beautiful, beautiful plan.
But that was probably her nervousness. Is she was stepping out of her comfort zone.
Right.
To be obedient.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
so
Jesus.
She invites me to Freedom Friday, which is now Eyes on Jesus.
Yay.
And I remember the first week not showing up, like ditching it. Like knew about it, but whatever I was doing sounded more fun. So I went and did that. And the following week, Louisa, from what I can remember, texted me again. Hey, you should come this week, this Friday. So I showed up to the address she sent me, which was an auto body car shop.
Yes.
Called Simpson's Auto Repair, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's off 65. If you live in Nashville, you know what we're talking about. It's right by Carvana. And it was so random to me because I'm like this 22 or 23 year old girl, like thinking I'm showing up to a worship night at like a giant church or some type of church.
Wow.
So when it was a car shop, I was like, what is this? Like, I'm sure I had maybe not judgment, but just like hesitation. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
But I also grew up with like lots of environments that were random. So right. This didn't really throw me for a loop.
We were literally sitting on the concrete floor.
On the concrete floor.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm just thinking back how we have been faithful, how the Lord has taught us to be faithful with what we have. We didn't wait on funds. We didn't wait on a setup teardown team. We didn't wait on chairs. We didn't wait on a back screen. We didn't wait on anything. We started right where we were with what we had.
Little phone
set of lives.
Yes. Wait, I'll go fast.
Okay, I have my doctor's.
Okay, you can go if you have to.
I
love you
to.
So much.
Gonna check on the baby.
So basically, I walk in to this. Okay. So I walk into a car shop, and I brought a friend that night who was in my friend group at the time. And as soon as I walked in, the moment I walked in, I remember looking around and seeing Cheyenne from across the room and being like, whoa. I remember, I don't know if I've ever verbalized this, but I remember thinking I've never seen eyes like that. Like, I've never noticed someone's eyes like that. Like honey and like a lion and like fire and sweetness and just, I just had never felt love through someone's eyes like that ever.
And I loved you immediately.
I
remember
loved
looking
you
at you thinking, I know her. But I knew I didn't.
Yeah. We had never met.
He knew you.
He knew me.
He knew you.
Love you so much.
And he knew the pain you were in. And he knew the abuse that you weren't even calling abuse. Because you didn't have any probably compassion for yourself.
No. I just thought I should get it together by now.
You were hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't have any compassion for yourself. You weren't looking for a way out. But he knew you.
Woo.
And he had already planned to rescue you.
Yeah.
That's what you saw when you saw my eyes.
100%. I didn't know love. Like, yeah, what I called love was abuse or anger or, I don't know, I just had such a twisted definition and example of the word love. I didn't know. So when I walked in, I felt loved and I felt holiness. Mm. Now I know the word. So I remember feeling holiness and feeling just like a gravity in the room that was like different than normal outside the room.
Wow.
You know? But I didn't know the word. I didn't know the terms, the presence of God or Kabod glory or, you know, I just knew like the word energy or like,
wow,
like gravity, like something in the room was different. Like the tangibleness of the air.
Cause literally you can feel his presence.
His presence.
Tangible.
Yeah. And it was like, it was almost like I could grab it.
Yes.
In my hands.
Yes.
And so I did. I did.
You sure did.
I sure did. I was like, I want this. And I remember thinking, this is Jesus.
Ooh.
Like as soon as he gave me the revelation and knowledge immediately. It was like, whatever I thought was Jesus wasn't. And this is it. He's here. Like I remember thinking, and I know you have a similar story to that, Elise. Like he was in the room. Like they were worship. I love how you say that. They were worshiping a God that was in the room, and you could feel that because they were worshiping him and looking at him. He was there, and so I couldn't help but look to him. And I used to say this on radio tour a lot. The atmosphere that you guys had set was set for me to be saved.
Ooh.
Like. Y'all's worship caused me to look at him, which caused me to repent, which caused me to be saved, which caused me to be wrecked and cry
changed.
Out. Changed.
Not inspired. Or encouraged.
Right.
But changed.
Actual transformation happened. That was the beginning, obviously, but
gotta start somewhere.
He started. So yeah, I just remember we worshiped and then I cried off all my makeup and then there was a funny like weird prayer thing with someone that shouldn't have been praying for me.
Right.
The Lord is so good. And then Austin, who goes to our church, also prayed and interceded. And it was so beautiful, like just how the Lord uses his body. And
yes.
And it was amazing. And I left that night and I remember feeling like, I want to go back and feel that again.
Wow.
You know, and I didn't know fully that it was Jesus, but I knew enough that I wanted it again the next day.
Wow.
Like for sure. And by Monday, I had already opened up my Bible. I went home by myself, opened up my Bible, and the word started coming to life to me immediately.
Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, I was born again.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was born again. And so on Monday, I was sitting in co-writing sessions, writing country songs, but stopped everything and was just kind of like, hey, can we write Christian songs? Or no, I think I termed it, can we write songs about Jesus? And their faces were like, aren't you the girl that writes party songs or like songs about boyfriends or, you know, like their faces were shocked. So then the rest is pretty much history with how I ended up here, but I never left. I came back the following week or the following Friday and it was Halloween 5 years ago. And that night, because at that point, we weren't really like a church yet. It was just like a gathering or a worship night. And we were meeting at people's houses or people's, you know, jobs, like the car shop, whatever. And that week was at the Skipper's house who go to our church. And there was like a bonfire and you guys were just singing and worshiping. And I was like, this sounds better than any Halloween party. This is way better. And again, I didn't know like the full spirit realm yet, but I knew enough to know that I was drawn to Jesus and I wanted him. And that night was the last night I saw the friends that I brought from my past friend group. Because I was going after Jesus now, like the real one.
Yes.
And I was forsaking everything else.
So suddenly you were the friend.
Suddenly I was the friend that was being judged. Lisa. That's right. I was 100% starting to be judged.
Because if you're not judged by the world, or honestly, the worldly church, you really need to stop and think, are you actually following Christ? Because he said if you love him, they'll hate you. You just thought about that this morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that this
People
morning.
People spend time trying to avoid that. Mm-hmm. That should be embraced. Mm-hmm. I don't mean we try to cause offense. I'm just saying the actual gospel, as Kevin says, is offensive enough that if you're actually living in the light, following Jesus, the world will hate you. That's one of the promises of God.
Wow. And I'm just thinking, like I'm just thinking about so much right now, but one of the things is, like, we were talking about earlier, like, I was dead and blind and deaf, and in one moment that night became alive. I could see and I can hear. And I can walk, you know, like, spiritually. Like, I got up, picked up my mat.
Yes.
And went home. Yes. Or woman at the well got a taste, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And went and told everybody. I mean, yes. I started telling everybody.
Immediately.
With no shame about it. I was like, oh, this is the good news. Mm-hmm. It's him. Jesus is the good news. It's not a church service or like a religion even. It is the pure religion. But, you know, it's him. It's him. It's actually, he's actual. And he's real and he's alive. And his Holy Spirit lives in us.